You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Notre Dame fans. Welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 451. Randall's back here as well. Randall, we took a week off, and I don't think we missed too much, but what did you end up doing during your week off? If this podcast is the only thing that you do.
I spend a week prepping for the podcast. Actually, I was out in Phoenix for the week. Just got back this morning, actually just after lunch, a couple hours ago. I left this morning. The nice warm weather out there, and came back to the... It's actually warm here in Indiana, but it's raining quite a bit. Yesterday I was out in the sunny Phoenix area playing some golf, and that's not really an option here right now. So
we would have done the podcast last week if there would have been something really important breaking, but there just wasn't that much. We do have a couple small things. Probably the biggest thing was the NCAA did come down on the ruling of Notre Dame's vacated wins. Notre Dame had appealed their decision, and now the NCAA stood their ground and denied Notre Dame's appeal. And so Notre Dame's 2012 wins are vanished. They're gone. They are no
Ridiculous.
More.
Ridiculous.
I do think it's dumb, especially when you consider some of the other, I don't know what the right word is, but this wasn't a cover-up by the Notre Dame staff. You know, they were the ones that brought it to the NCAA, and it just seems definitely like overkill, and like it seems inconsistent the way compared to other instances when the NCAA has given out rulings where they're taking away wins or some kind of punishment. And Notre Dame's president, Jenkins, did write a letter to the NCAA. You can definitely read it, and he does point out some of these inconsistencies from his point of view.
Basically everybody's point of view, but he gave his point of view.
I don't think it matters in the short term, but I disagree with the ruling.
Well, it's wins, loss. I always thought that was a stupid thing to vacate because you still won the games. You still blah, blah, blah. It just doesn't show up in the record books. So, big deal. It's not that big a deal. It'd be worse if you had to, sit out a bowl game or, something like that. But it is very frustrating after you see some of the things that happened, like at North Carolina was one of the latest ones. I mean, the things they did there were outrageous. And here at Notre Dame, everybody knows they turned themselves in, basically, and they got hammered for it and got in trouble for it. Well, what do you think schools are going to do now? I mean, it makes no sense. It's just another ruling by the NCAA that is mind-boggling and just very, very inconsistent.
Mm-hmm. So, I guess we'll just move on then. I don't even know. Is there any chance that they would take this to a higher court, or they would try to get these wins reinstated?
I don't know. It seems kind of pointless to fight it. I mean, they already appealed it, and I can't really see them doing something else. I just think everybody's frustrated, and especially with what John Jenkins said. It's just frustrating when you see what other schools have done, and Notre Dame even went to the effort to turn it in themselves. So next time they should just keep it quiet.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll just leave it at that. I'm sure.
Imagine how many wins Alabama would vacate if they turned themselves in. They would have no championships. But we'll leave it at that. It's just, I get too frustrated talking about it. It's pointless.
There's a couple other just kind of small things to talk about. Over in the forums, forums.iversportstalk.net, Solon posted and asked what we think the over and under will be as far as 4 or 5-star linemen in this next cycle. So offensive linemen or defensive linemen. And it was more, this was just kind of a discussion over there. He was playing with 7.5 or 8.5. And definitely at 8.5, I would pick the under.
Yeah.
But at 7.5, I would pick the over. And so I think right there is perfect. I mean, anywhere there. I think he had first said with the 8.5, so maybe we would just go with 8.5. But I don't think Notre Dame's going to get 9 4- or 5-star linemen. I think they'll get a couple on the offensive side of the ball, but to also get a couple on the defensive side of the ball, I don't think it's going to happen where they get, you know, 3 or 4. Or really what they would need, yeah.
Well, Solon thinks, he said he'd take the over at 9.
Solon can be a little optimistic. I hope he's right.
Irish Don said he'd even take the under at 7.5. Which, if it's just linemen, I would almost agree with Don. I mean, yeah, they'll get, you know, that many linemen, but they often have some 3-stars in there as well.
That's the thing. And maybe even at 7.5, I
would go with 7.
That's definitely a safer, because they're probably, a good class would be 4 or 5-star offensive linemen, and if you get 3 4- or 5-star defensive linemen, I don't think you can get 4 or 5-star defensive linemen, can you? I mean, yes, you can.
Part of it is, I think part of the reason Solon's so optimistic is because the defensive end class, they want to take some in this net. This is a good year for defensive ends. It wasn't last year, and that's why Notre Dame didn't go after more guys. And maybe why, you know, the loss of Eason there at the end with him signing with North Carolina State wasn't as big a deal. This is has a lot of good defensive linemen in the class. And so I think Notre Dame will recruit quite a few defensive linemen. So I think that's where he gets his 9. They're really going to be pushing the offense or the defensive linemen. Offensive linemen, Notre Dame just signed a bunch of offensive linemen, and so it's kind of hard for me to see them get too many next class. Yeah, they need to take 2 or 3, but I don't think they're going to take 4. And so, well, if they would take 4, it's probably because 1 or 2 of the guys is underrated. Is that 3-star guy, is a project, you know, that's going to take a couple years to develop. But we'll have to wait and see. Definitely chime in with your thoughts on that.
And then maybe some more drama that's been happening is Notre Dame's pro day is coming up here, and Malik Zier decided to come back and participate in this pro day. And we had talked about it. I think we had mentioned it 2 weeks ago or on the previous podcast. And Randall, you had mentioned he's also participating in Florida's Pro Day.
Yeah.
So Notre Dame's Pro Day, when is that, Randall?
It's on March 22nd. And Malik Zier is not the first guy. Everett Golson came back and threw at Notre Dame.
Because from me, he graduated. He was here for 4 years, and he... In my opinion, he fulfilled his part of the obligation, the commitment part. He was here for 4 years, thought he'd have a better chance, better opportunity somewhere else.
I mean, it is surprising he wasn't, when we had him on the podcast, you could tell he wasn't that excited about Brian Kelly. But I'm fine with it. I think it could maybe hurt him a little bit. Yeah, he's coming back. He's got some good targets to throw to. But he hasn't been practicing with these guys for a year. I mean, obviously he's still going to be throwing at Florida, so that helps him out with the receivers that he's just recently thrown to. But I don't know. There's good and bad in it. He needs all the publicity he can get. He needs to do as much as he can in front of NFL scouts for him to get a job, because, I mean, really, there's not much college football to go or film on him in college to go off of. I mean, yeah, he did play some at Florida, but it wasn't like, you know, he was there. He was a starter the full year. And
but as far as from
he's going to have to prove a lot to the scouts to get a chance to play in the NFL.
But as far as him coming back to Notre Dame for pro day, taking advantage of that, do you have a problem with it?
No.
As a fan?
I'm totally fine with it. Yeah. I mean, because if he does get a chance with the team, I mean, he's connected to Notre Dame. I mean, yeah. it's a publicity thing for Notre Dame.
He is a graduate of Notre Dame.
And he made a decision what he thought was best for him by going to Florida. And, I'm totally fine with it. I did talk with him a little bit the other day. He's actually out in Phoenix as well. He's preparing for the draft out in Phoenix, doing his workouts and everything out there. So at least he's got good weather out there to deal with or to work with. Since you did mention Florida, or since we talk about Florida, the Gators, I just recently read the book about Aaron Hernandez. There's a new book that came out about Aaron Hernandez and just kind of his story growing up and how he ended up killing multiple people.
Was this story before he killed himself, or was it?
Well, it's his life story.
Okay.
But I didn't realize, they talk about Florida quite a bit in there because Urban Meyer would have recruited there, and it's just some interesting stuff in the
book. Who's it written? What's the name of it, and who's it written by?
Oh, shucks. I'd have to look it up now. But it's very easy reading.
Was it?
I read it in like 2 days. I was flying out to Boston, and I read it on the way out and the way back.
Wait, was it by James Patterson?
Yeah.
Yes, the All-American Murder.
Yes. It's a very good book. Here's the weird thing. I was reading it on the way out to Boston, and then when I was at the hotel, I looked up to see where one of the shootings had happened, and it was a mile from our hotel.
Hold up.
So that was kind of weird. But anyways, they talk about Urban Meyer in there and the Florida Gators and some of the things that happened there and how they got away with things. And some people, the locals, thought that the Gators basically ran the town. They could do whatever they wanted, you know.
This book just came out January 22nd, so yeah. It's fresh off the press. I didn't know that James Patterson wrote nonfiction, and maybe just because I'm not don't read a whole lot.
But anyways, there's some interesting stuff about the Florida Gators and Urban Meyer in there, so check it out.
Did you read it or listen to it?
No, I read it.
Hold it, Randall. I'm impressed.
So, Urban Meyer, this is crazy. So, he used to come into Urban Meyer. He had a very rough childhood. His dad died. His hero died when he was growing up. So that's kind of what stems from it. I mean, if you read the story, it kind of makes sense why he did the things he did. I mean, you can see, obviously he had issues. Anyways, Urban Meyer tried to help him out a lot, and it was even at one point he was even Hernandez would come to his office every morning and have devotions with him. And by the time he left Florida, he wasn't doing it at all. But Urban Meyer, you know, tried to look out for him, and he even called the Patriots and told them they need to keep an eye on him and watch. I mean, help him out as much as possible. Because
wow.
Anyways, enough of that. So Pro Day is March 22nd, and then another date to remember is March 3rd. Notre Dame's having another Junior Day, so they're trying to get visitors lined up and figured out, so there'll be a bunch of juniors coming in for that. There was actually a visitor at Notre Dame this weekend, and here's one of the offensive linemen, four-star offensive lineman Dan Quinn. He was at Notre Dame this weekend, and he's definitely a top target for Notre Dame. So maybe they can try to get him in the class and get the over on the 8.5 for four-star players. And then Notre Dame is still handing out a lot of offers. It's crazy. I think I've mentioned it before, but it seems like they've basically offered the entire 2019 class. And I think a lot of it is because of the early signing period. They've had more time to check out these guys' film and, you know, visit whatever. They've had more time to focus on these guys as juniors than they would have in other years. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the biggest difference you see with so many offers going out right now. Just quick over the list, some of the guys that got offers this last week. N'Kobe Dean is a linebacker. Athlete Kalen DeLoach, a linebacker. I had N'Kobe Dean's name twice. Tight end Luke Deal, wide receiver Zion Puckett, tight end Jackson Lowe, defensive back Derrett Stingley, defensive end MJ Anderson, and athlete John Plumlee. So just some names, probably won't mean a lot to you, but maybe you recognize one from your local high school. So that does happen every once in a while. But we'll try to keep you updated with offers and kind of what's going on. So, oh, the other new Kurt Heinisch tweeted out this week that his dad is cancer free, and so that's some exciting news. It's always good to see some of that from the players, and you know the love they get from the Notre Dame fans as well when you know they're going through some of that, and hopefully his dad can stay cancer free. Obviously, Jamion Franklin, freshman that's coming in, his dad's battling cancer right now as well, so. There's more to life than football. These guys, it's usually just view them as football players, but you know they have things that they go through and deal with as well. So, and then one other thing I had was Cole Kmet, the tight end, is pitching for Notre Dame baseball right now, and he got his first action a couple days ago against number 9 LSU.
Okay, I heard that Notre Dame beat LSU, what was it, 2 out of 3 games? They beat the series. I don't follow. I barely follow baseball and even less Notre Dame college baseball. But I guess if LSU was number 9 team in the country, that's a big deal.
So Cole Kmet got to see plenty of LSU this year, beat them in the bowl game, and he gets to come in and beat them at baseball. So he came in. He was the reliever, and he got a save. He pitched for 4 innings, 4 scoreless innings. He only allowed 1 hit, struck out 3, and retired 10 of the last 12 batters. So, did a good job there.
Does that mean he killed him, if he retired him?
Yeah. They're done. Their season's over with. But, yeah, interesting to watch. You know, if a guy with talent like that, I mean, the first person you think of is Jeff Samardzija, who actually ended up picking baseball over football. But the thing is, he still had a great, phenomenal football career, so it'll be fun to watch, see how he does playing baseball at Notre Dame. I like to see him do this. I think it just helps Notre Dame with those guys that, you know, like Braden Lindsey, that wanted to run track. You know, supposedly they told him, you know, Oregon, everybody else was telling him, oh, that's not going to work at Notre Dame, they won't let you do that. Well, they obviously do. I mean, Troy Pride is running track right now too, and if you
that
follow,
seems just like very, very poor miscommunication, partly on Notre Dame's part, too, I think.
It was. But, yeah, I like seeing him do it. Especially baseball, it doesn't affect it quite as much.
If it's a different part of the season.
Because right now, you know, they're
doing winter workouts.
It messes with the spring. It messes with their spring practice. But other guys did. Evan Sharpley.
How are they playing baseball? Do they play at Notre Dame this time of year?
They'd have to, I think. I don't know.
We just had a snowstorm come through. I assumed the baseball season, yeah, was over the summer or, you know, the late summer, early fall, same time as kind of football. But
we'll have to check it out. This is a football podcast, but what was I going to say? Oh, with Troy Pride running track, if you follow players' social media, the other guys are out there supporting him, and you get to see on Instagram, Snapchat, the guys out there when Troy Pride is running track. So it's good to see them. You know, they're rooting for him and want to see him have success. So,
all right.
I think that's all I got.
Yeah, I don't have anything more. Check out the forums if you want to talk Notre Dame football. I guess you can bring up baseball, too. I don't know that much about it. Neither does Randall. But definitely cheer for the Irish wherever.
That's why I wherever still say football
and however,
is America's sport.
Wherever and however they play. And there is some excitement around the basketball team. You know, they're trying to make the tournament. So that'll be disappointing if they don't. But definitely, I mean, yeah, they need to win some games if they're going to make the NCAA tournament.
Hey, well, that is coming up. So remember, when you do go to fill out your March Madness brackets, we always have a Irish Sports Talk group. So be sure to join that. We usually give away the shirt to the winner. So I believe.
And usually
was it last year, Parker Boudreau's dad won the 1 year, or was tied. There was a tie.
Okay. I don't remember. So, yeah, so usually there's not that many people on it, so I mean, you do.
Well,
you
it's
do
because
have,
we do it last minute.
I know. Usually there's about 50
people. So we're giving you a lot of
people,
heads up right now.
Probably 40, 50 people that usually end up playing. So yeah. You've got a good chance. If you think you're good at picking games, you've got a good chance at winning a pretty cool gift. And, of course, if Randall or I win, we get the shirt for ourselves. So you don't win unless you actually win.
Have you ever been close to winning, Ruben?
Yes, closer than you. I remember last year you were awful.
Last year was terrible. So
anyway, check out the forums, forums.irishsportstalk.net. We're on Twitter, on Instagram, and Facebook as well. And if you have a thought, an opinion about the football team or something you'd like to discuss, just drop a line either on Twitter or on the forums. It's free to sign up, so check it out. Anyway, until next time, go Irish.
Go Irish.